to a special style episode of Reds and Ambers. It's Rebecca back.
It's the podcast.
Oh, Brutal Battle. Oh, I forgot to say that. We even practiced ahead of time.
Not like people don't really know if they're listening to it. I mean, they know that it's already Brutal Battle.
Should I do it again?
No, you don't have to do it again. Okay. We'll just go with this.
This
is what I like about these special episodes that we do, just you and I. I feel like it's a little more relaxed. And I was just thinking about it before starting recording. The other good thing is, this is when we taste things not blind. So it is like a little bit easier for me. Because honestly, and I'm sure some people know because we said it before, it's tough doing blind tasting. So when we have like a style episode, not only do we know everything's going to be like one style, but... We're opening it on the show, so we know what
it
is.
You know the brewery, you know the alcohol, you know what it's supposed to taste like.
So this is kind of like Carlin's vacation within the show to kind of kick back and relax, yet still do a show. And I do a little bit of work ahead of time to get some information about the style that we're covering.
And I do nothing. I just sit here and talk and drink beer.
You drink beer, but you give us your insights about what you smell, what you taste. So, it is valuable.
And to echo what Carlin said, sometimes he'll pour a beer and just bring it out to me and say, taste this. What do you think? And it is, like, I'm like, I don't know what I think, or I'm like, what is it? And he's like, well, I'm not going to tell you. And I'm like, well, and it's funny how much that does impact whether you like or dislike a beer, knowing what it is ahead of time.
It does. And that's why, you know, when people say that, you know, there have been people who are like, well, you're just bashing on a certain type of beer because it's that type of beer. Well, yeah, that does happen on the show because I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Right.
So obviously my taste buds are going to be biased towards different certain styles. And that's just kind of how it is for everyone if they would be tasting blind. The thing about a lot of beer podcasts is they do not taste blind. So they know exactly what they're drinking. So it's easy for them to be like, oh, I like this or I don't like this. Because they can have that in their mind ahead of time. Sometimes that changes when they actually taste it, but, you know, it definitely helps if you already know what it is to be like, oh, I think I'm going to like this, or I don't.
But on the flip side, like, I know, for instance, that, what was that wheat beer by Fordham that you really
liked? Wisteria Wheat.
Wisteria Wheat. You know, knowing that was a wheat beer, you probably would have never picked that off the shelf.
Exactly.
Because it's a wheat, and I know that's not a style you're typically drawn to, but... Now that you had it on the show, you know, that would probably be something that we both would drink again.
Yeah. Well, and this is a perfect segue to go to, you know, what our style is. You said, you know, reds and ambers, and that typically is a style that I would kind of stay away from, because when you think amber beers, you think red beers, you think boring. Mm-hmm. And I know when we had our Brutal Battle Royale tournament, which, by the way, if people haven't figured it out, when we do the style episodes, we like to have them correlate with the Brutal Battle Royale tournament that we just had. But on that tournament, we said, I know some of us said that you would think that these would be, you know, the boring styles, but there's some interesting stuff. If you listen to that tournament, you know there's some very interesting stuff that came up. Because pretty much with any style, and people need to think about it this way when they're thinking about any style, breweries are just pushing the boundaries of every single style out there. Style at this point isn't really... It's kind of like just how you start with the base of the beer. You know, like, how are you gonna structure it from the get-go? And then they just take it into... Some just stick with what's traditional, but some will just go off in some crazy direction and do something totally different. Mm-hmm. So, as is... our custom with these style episodes, we do have some beers in front of us that we will be trying. We have four, actually, and we're not going to tell you what they are until we're going to drink them.
Well, it's kind of like, sorry, I know you probably want to get to drinking, but...
No, that's fine.
The other thing I wanted to bring up was lagers. Like, lagers is not a style that Carlin and I typically drink, but we've been drinking a lot more of... What are they called?
India Pale Lagers.
India Pale Lagers.
So it's like the light lager style, and it's very crisp, but it has more hop flavor to it. So, I mean, it's India Pale Lager because it's kind of like a mix between an IPA and a lager. But, you know, the hops aren't so resinous and heavy like they can be with IPAs. But it's a really good and, you know, like, refreshing yet really tasty style, especially for, you know, when it's hotter outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you want, like, a lot of flavor, but you don't want, like, to be chewing your beer, basically, which happens with very hoppy beers, which I like, but not in the heat.
Right. So. Okay.
All right, so.
Cracking open the first one?
Yeah, we're going to crack open the first beer, and I'll start talking about the style.
Oh, I feel like you need to tell people about your new bottle opener, too.
Oh, yeah. So I'm using this new bottle opener that was given to me by Nathan Klasnick and Erica Klasnick. It is basically a piece of wood that has a magnet, has magnets on two sides. The one side, it's so you can just, like, put it on your fridge. The other side, it has a nail on the side of it. And the nail head basically is supposed to go under the cap, and then the magnet goes right on top of the cap. So you just kind of like wrench the piece of wood back, and the nail head pulls the cap off pretty effortlessly. And then once it's pulled off, it stays on the opener because of the magnet there.
And so.
It works very easily.
And it doesn't bend the cap at all. So no, if you're like collecting caps for any reason, it's kind of mind-blowing. It's like so simple, but every time I use it, I'm like, what the heck?
Well, that's because the surface area of the actual opener is so large that there's no room for bending of the cap. And that's the smart thing about the design of it.
Who does it? Is it?
Bravenhill AreaWare is what it says. I never even heard of them before, but it's a cool thing. So anyway, the beer we have in front of us right now is by Lagunitas Brewing. It is their Censored Rich Copper Ale, which is a form of amber. It's called Censored. It was originally called The Chronic, but the name was denied by the agency that approves and denies beer labels because they said that it was a marijuana reference, which it is.
It is.
Although, of course, Lagunitas was basically like, what? This is not a marijuana reference. What are you talking about? And I had read on their website the explanation of it, and that's kind of what they said. Is there like, what? How is this a marijuana reference? So then, because of that, they just submitted it with just a censored tag over top of it, and they approved it that way. So they were just like, okay, whatever. So it was The Chronic, but it's got this little censored label over it, and you can see that there's something behind it.
Oh, but you can't tell what it is.
Yeah, you can't tell. Interesting. So that's kind of the story behind that. But let's go ahead and pour some of this amber. Like, I'll give you a little bit, and since I always give a little bit, you can feel free to get more if you're enjoying it.
Okay.
Let me see if there's any sort of special. There's not really anything special written about this beer. It is 6.7% alcohol.
And as you would expect, the color is copper.
Yes, it's amber.
Amber.
Amber, copper, as the name on the beer says. Get a little bit of... It's got a little bit of that kind of honeyish note to me that you get typically with a lighter style of beer. But there's significant hop presence to it as well.
Mm-hmm. The nose, it smells like it might be a little syrupy.
Yes, I could see that.
I don't like that, but...
I think it smells good, though.
It does smell good, but because it makes me think of syrupy, I just don't like syrupy beers, but...
So, just so you know, the amber style is derived from pale ale, and it's an American style. Amber's totally an American style. It was created in the American West Coast. And then it, you know, disseminated itself throughout the United States to become real popular. Now, the reason that we clump red and amber together is because it's been used interchangeably within the United States. And part of that being that it just really has to do with the coloration of how the beer comes out. So some people were just kind of like, it was the amber style initially, but they would be like, oh, it looks red. So they started calling it a red. Now, when you talk about actual, like, Irish-style reds, that is actually different, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So I'll tell you a little bit more after we taste it. You've been tasting it. What do you get?
I've been tasting it. It's kind of nondescript.
The malt character is very light. There's not too much to it.
So is the hop presence, too. Like, it's just...
Yeah, the hop presence is light, but honestly, when you say amber ale, the hop presence is significantly more, in my opinion, than you would assume. So? Yeah. Hmm. I like it.
I mean, there's nothing not to like.
No. It's got a pretty significant bitterness on the finish, too, which, you know, obviously indicates that there is a significant hop presence to it. And one of the things about the Amber Style is that it is a medium body beer. I mean, typically that's what it's supposed to be. It's like a medium body beer that's a little bit lighter on the malts, using only American hops. And the American hops are used for the flavor and the aroma.
Again, I feel like I say this all the time when I'm on the show, but, you know, this is another beer that I think would appeal to a lot of different drinkers.
Mm-hmm. And this is actually, the parameters of this beer typically, as the style says, between usually like 4 and 6 ABV. So the alcohol on this one is actually higher at 6.7 than what the style would typically dictate. But that's why I say, you know, like, breweries take a style and then they kind of do their own thing with it. They'll push it one way or the other. But I will say, at 6.7%, it's hidden extremely well in this beer.
Yeah.
Especially for being such a
light beer.
Yeah, being on the lighter side.
Yeah, I was surprised by that when I got all the beers. No, I'm the beer organizer for the podcast, and especially when they do the, you know, Battle Royale as far as organizing the beers, and I was surprised by the how many different varieties of red and ambers that were in that tournament.
There are a lot. And honestly, that censored, if you gave it to someone without telling them what it is, they might assume that it is a pale ale because of the hop presence to it. And that's, you know, I see where it's the amber style is derived from
pale ale. I feel like the color could give it away, though.
Yeah.
You know, it might cause suspect.
Yeah, people might get a little suspicious.
They might.
But then again, you never know.
Hmm.
Okay.
Next.
So the next one we're going to go to is by Flying Dog. It is called Lucky SOB, which I assume stands for son of a bitch. That's my assumption. I know.
How did that get approved?
Well, it doesn't actually say. It just says Lucky SOB.
Well, how did the other label not get approved?
Well, there was a problem. I mean, I don't know how Raging Bitch got through, but I know there was a big uproar that it did get through. Uh-oh, my alarm from my phone's going off. Faux pas. My bad.
Podcast faux pas.
Yeah. Anyway, the so it's a Lucky SOB. It's an Irish style red.
So excited to try this one, especially because it's brewed with four leaf clovers.
Yeah, which I don't know if you're really going to get any flavor from that on it. It just seems kind of gimmicky. You know,
it is, but I think it's cute.
I mean, I love Flying Dog stuff typically, yeah. So it's I assume local. It's going to be good. Let's see what they have on here. While karma's biting you in the ass, it's kissing his. A prophet of prosperity, he's the guy you love to hate. And just when you think his fate's on the brink, that bastard's life falls right back into place. This is a 5.5% alcohol by volume beer.
I love all the artwork on the Flying Dog labels, too.
Yeah, it's the Gonzo style of artwork that was made popular by the Gonzo style news reporting from Hunter S. Thompson.
Carlin knows a lot of stuff about a lot of weird things sometimes.
Yeah.
I guess it's not weird.
Can you drink your water? I put some water in Rebecca's glass to rinse, and then she could drink it so that I could put this in. But I'm not going to pour the beer into water.
I didn't even see you do that.
It could taste a little diluted, just letting you know. So there you go. All right. Now I may pour for you.
Oh, this is already dark. This is darker.
Yeah, it is darker. It does look red.
Yeah.
Reddish. And one of the things to say about the Irish red style, that is where it is definitely different. There is a difference between amber and red. If it's actually an Irish red, it is different from amber. If it's like an American style red, it's not. I mean, they're interchangeable. So the Irish style red is supposed to be also medium bodied, much like the amber. But it's supposed to be lower in IBUs typically, more malty, and the IBUs on the ambers typically somewhere between 25 and 45 international bittering units, for people who don't know, between 25 and 45. With Irish reds, it's typically between 17 and 28, okay, which is a very, you know, a much smaller window and a lot lower.
So this might be a dumb question. I always feel like I ask dumb questions on this podcast, but
no, it's not. I mean, this whole podcast for the whole time has been like a learning experience for everybody involved in it. I mean, if people haven't noticed, I don't know everything about beer. I don't even claim to know even close to half of anything about beer. I educate myself along the way, and hopefully some people are learning with me.
Okay, so my question is, I understand ABV, alcohol by volume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then when you say IBUs,
mm-hmm,
okay, so it's a bittering unit, is that what you said?
Just the scale that they came up with to measure how bitter a beer is from the hops.
So that was, okay, so a beer can only be bitter from hops, or can something else in the beer make it? Like, could you put the same amount of hops or the same type of hops in a beer and somehow one is more bitter because of other things that you would add to the beer?
I'm sure there are other ways that they could be bittered. I'm not going to say that I know for sure because I don't. But just thinking about it from the logic that I have beer-wise, it would seem to me like you can definitely add some other stuff that's going to give it more bittering.
Okay.
Like, say you actually brew a beer with some sort of rind of some fruit, you know, that's bitter typically, so
right,
it's gonna impart more bitterness to the beer.
So they don't just look at the hops.
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
but someone send an email, correct me if I'm wrong. I very well could be on that. Okay.
We could look it up.
I'm just spitballing on this one, so
not now, but at some point.
At some point, maybe in a future episode, I'll update everyone on that.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, but the Irish red style, like I said, you know, it's medium bodied, much like the amber style, but it's not all American hops. It wasn't derived from the American pale ale. And you know, I said the IBUs are much different. The alcohol is about the same, between 4 and 6% typically for the Irish reds. This lucky SOB is at 5.5, so that falls within those parameters.
I have to chuckle. Lucky SOB.
Lucky SOB. Yeah, it's a good name. I like it.
I accidentally forgot to smell it, and I just drank it right away.
Okay. Well, when I smell it, you can smell it with me. Or you can start smelling it right now.
I'm going to say I already like it, though.
Okay. Well, one of the things about big differences with the Irish Reds is that they use some roasted malts.
Mm.
So a big difference between amber and red is you're going to get more of like a roasted malt flavor, mm-hmm, characteristic to a red. So if you would taste like a red and an amber right next to each other, you'd get more malts from the red and pick up on some roast,
and
ideally.
Especially more because of the Irish.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you right now.
You're going to like it?
No, just smelling it. I smell some roasted malt.
Oh, yeah.
It's very roasty.
It's like, I was just going to say, it's so roasty.
It is very roasty. And, like, it smells just like a hearty beer.
Yeah, it makes me just want to, like, cuddle up on the couch with a blanket, which I kind of already am doing.
Yeah, this kind of signals to me, like, autumn.
Yeah, well, see, I'm biased because I already tasted it. Yeah, I could say that.
I don't think I can smell four-leaf clovers. But then again, I have no idea what that smells like. Does anyone out there? I'm not sure if anyone knows what that
smells
like.
I mean, besides, like, the roasting, I'm not getting anything else.
You know, I get a bit of a hop presence. There's a bit of a sweetness on the note. I can't say what that sweetness necessarily smells like. It just smells like a sweetness with some hops there and then a little bit of that smoky or roasted malt.
Is this just the type of beer I drink a little and I just want to go, mmm?
There's definitely, when it first hits your tongue, there's a little bit of a sugary sweetness on your palate.
I feel like but the finish is like so like caramelly, like roasted caramel, like caramelized sugar.
A little roasty, a little caramelly. It tastes a little bit like bitter vegetable-y on the finish as well.
Kind of.
Maybe that's a four-leaf clover.
Oh, maybe. Now, Carlin's not going to like this, but it kind of reminds me of like, I'm talking about like caramelized caramelized stuff when, like, you, like, roast Brussels sprouts and, like, the edges get, like, real crispy.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It kind of reminds me of that, which I love because I feel like they kind of taste like candy, but Carlin hates Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I hate Brussels sprouts. It triggers my gag reflex every time.
I think he's crazy, but whatever. Yeah. I really like this beer, though.
Do you?
Yeah. I really like it.
I have had other Irish red styles before, and so this does taste pretty similar, but I think in comparison to the other Irish reds I've had, you know, like Killian's, most recently like Killian's and O'Hara's, obviously those are more adjunct-y type beers. This tastes cleaner in comparison.
I feel like I've never had Killian's.
It's got an assy finish to it.
I never really drank Killian's. Any... like warm like macro beers. I just went straight to micro, but I really like it. When we're done recording, we like drink the rest of them. So like,
oh yeah, don't let it go to waste.
That's well, our... yeah, but like Carlin calls dibs on things, and I call dibs on things, and I'm already calling dibs on that.
Okay, so you have called the lucky SOB. Does that mean that I inherently have to finish the censored? Which yeah. I would be. Cool
I mean, if... we still have two other ones. I have a feeling the one I'm not gonna like.
Yeah, I kind of have a feeling you're not gonna like that one as well.
But, so you might be doing that yourself, but I really want that lucky SOB.
Okay.
And I feel like a lucky SOB today because I had a really good day at work and I had a free drink at Starbucks that I used.
Perfect. So this beer is appropriate for
it's my beer.
It's your beer. At least of two that we've had tonight. Of two, it is the
best. That sounds kind of ridiculous.
All right, well, slug that down, and then I'll give you a little bit of water here, and we're going to move on to our third beer. There's your water. The third beer in front of us is one that I put in this lineup because I feel like it got a little bit of a raw deal in our tournament.
Carlin, sorry. These were supposed to be beers that weren't on the show before.
Well, I will tell you, the censored and the lucky SOB were my winnings. Well, I didn't win from the tournament. Sean's winnings that he let us do a draft to take some of. So that's where the lucky SOB and censored came from. So the third beer was one that I actually entered into the tournament and was a little salty that it didn't get further because I thought it should have been probably the second place beer.
Carlin's just least. Salty because he didn't win.
I mean... the winner was justified, you know, and I even said so. But I do think that Nugget Nectar ideally should have been number two. But
what was number two? The coffee one?
Yeah, the espresso.
I love that. I need to find out where he got that. I mean,
it was good, but I still contend that it was a one note beer. It was just the coffee flavor, and that's all people were voting on. Well, so,
but it was, you know what? It was a unique coffee flavor because when you think of coffee in a beer, you automatically go to stout.
Right. Well, so that was up against, I believe, the Oak Big Hoppy Monster, which I think is just so much better.
Yeah, I don't.
But anyway,
not my thing. Anyway,
here we go.
We've digressed.
Yes, that beer that I had in there that I felt got a little bit of a raw deal is an Imperial Amber by Trogues Brewing. It is one of my favorite beers, Nugget Nectar. Your thoughts on Nugget Nectar, Rebecca? I know you've had it before.
Well, it was one of those beers that, like, early on in my beer drinking career, I really didn't like it because it was so hoppy and my palate was just not ready for it.
I think it's like 93 IBUs, which is really high. Which, right there, shatters the amber style. That's why it's an Imperial Amber. And this is what I was talking about with, once again, you know, breweries kind of taking a style as a base and then just going their own direction with it.
Well, that's what, when he was like, I'm going to put it in the tournament, I'm like, you can. I'm like, oh, I guess it is an amber. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because you think. I just assumed
it was an IPA.
Right, you just think that because it's so hoppy, you assume it's an IPA or something. But when you really look at it, the bottle says an Imperial Amber. Yeah. And I will say, the base beer for the Nugget Nectar was their Hopback Amber, which is just called an amber. Which is, I don't know the IBUs on it, but it is pretty, it is hoppy for an amber beer.
They still make that?
Yes, they still make Hopback, which is a really nice a little bit easier beer if you want like some nice hops, but you don't want to go as crazy as something like Nugget Nectar.
Do they also have a pale ale?
Yes, they do have a pale ale as well. Okay. But the other thing about Nugget Nectar is it's seasonal. So, and one of the great things that I like to always tell people about Nugget Nectar is that there was a year when Trogues had to pay a lot more for all the hops that they were putting in Nugget Nectar. And instead of increasing the price for their customer base, they kept the price the same and they took the hit on the pricing. So
I love that.
Yeah. Good brewery.
Like when people do the right thing. Cheers to
that. So.
But yeah, I have since had Nugget Nectar and it's been a little, I've enjoyed it more.
This is the thing, like.
To eat pineapple.
God, when I smell, well, it's kind of tropical, but typically, lately when I smell Nugget Nectar, I smell mango and Smarties. Like, you know, like that fruity, sugary smell that Smarties give you? It's just like Smarties.
Like pixie sticks.
Yeah.
See, I don't get mango because I'm on like a big mango kick right now, fruit wise. I love eating mangoes.
Well, in mango, its smell usually has like a bit of a pininess to it, which this does not.
Right. And that's why I was like, I don't get mango because.
It's just the citrusy sweet portion of the mango, not the pininess.
Okay. I just still wouldn't use mango though. We're gonna disagree.
I could see a tad bit of pineapple in this.
A tad?
Yeah.
The citrus and the sweetness. It's like pixie sticks poured over a pineapple.
Not like an acidic type pineapple. Because, you know, sometimes when you get them like very acidic and sometimes when you get them like more just on the sweet side.
Like a sweet.
It's on the sweet
like
side.
Like a sweet pineapple with the Smarties.
Would this beer be good with grilled pineapple?
I was just thinking. I don't know.
Maybe. Like all right. Well, let's drink it.
Caramelized grilled pineapple.
Yeah. Every time. This is good.
It's good. I like smelling it more than tasting it.
I just get hops. I get that Smarty taste that I get in the smell. It's there, and I get the mango-y taste to it, and I could see, like, the sweeter pineapple notes.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I could drink it. It's, if I had, like, my selection of beers, I wouldn't be, like, my one I would go to, but it would be one. Carlin and I sometimes flip beers.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Like 12 ounces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I call them baby beers, because sometimes I don't really want to drink a whole one. I just want, like, a little bit of something to sip on at night.
Yeah, sometimes you just want 6 ounces of a beer to just chill you out from the day or just get the flavor.
I wish all beers came in, I call them baby beers. But last night, Carl and I split 3 beers, and it was kind of nice because it felt like you were drinking 3 different beers, but it was only one and a half.
Yeah, we each only had the equivalent of 1.5 beer, but it truly felt like we had consumed 3 beers each because of the variety, you know, going through and being like, oh, no, I tried this one and this one and this one. Yeah.
So this would be one I would definitely like split with you because I enjoy the taste, but I just don't think I could drink.
You don't want to do a whole one.
I could. It just isn't, not my bag.
One of the things about Nugget Nectar that always sticks out to me is I feel like it has a much lighter mouthfeel than you would expect from the amount of hops that are in there.
Yeah.
Like you smell it and you're like, oh, it might be kind of like syrupy. It might be a little chewy because of all the hops.
I don't like that at all.
But you taste it and it does have that kind of like medium body like amber style is supposed to have.
Yeah.
I think it's a really well-executed beer. I'm a big fan. Although I don't think I should talk about it too much because I feel like I'm, you know, being a little biased.
Well, it's like one of your all-time favorite beers.
Yeah. That was one of the beers. I think that was the beer that got me big into large amounts of hops. That was my first, like, huge introduction.
It's an easy to drink hoppy beer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so light. But has such a in-your-face hop presence.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things, did I say about during the Lucky SOB that with the Irish Reds that it's not that it's just roasty malts. It's actually, they put some roasted barley into it. I don't think I said that.
I don't think so.
Sorry. Just pretend that this was said earlier. Irish Red style, they put roasted barley in there. So
all Irish Reds, not just Lucky SOB.
Yes, okay. all Irish Reds.
I'm happy to go back to that Lucky SOB.
I know, I can tell. And I'm happy to go back to that Nugget.
Okay, we've already called dibs.
Yeah. Okay, so the last beer that we're going to be trying is a much bigger beer. Oh, I forgot to say, the Nugget Nectar on its ABV is 7.5%. So that's well above the top of where ambers usually are at 6%. And That's why it's an Imperial. So last one we're going to do is by Hoppin' Frog, which is out of Ohio. We haven't had anything by them on the show.
Wow.
This is a beer that I had Nathan Kalasnik pick up for me.
He got two shout-outs in this episode.
Yeah, he did. There you go. Yeah, he picked this beer up for me so that I could use it in the tournament. But I ended up not using it in the tournament then because I felt like I had better options. Because I found the Oaked Big Hoppy Monster at the last minute. So the Hoppin' Frog was going to be in, but the Oaked Big Hoppy Monster came by and I couldn't pass that up to put in the tournament. So the Hoppin' Frog that we have is called Out of Kilter. It is a wee heavy Scotch style red. Hmm. So the thing about wee heavy means it's a Scottish style beer that has that the wort is actually done a little bit longer, so it caramelizes a little bit. And wee heavy typically refers to just Scottish style beers that are heavier in
what's
alcohol.
It? No, what's oh yeah, no,
they're stronger. They're strong ales. The ABV on this is 8.2, so that's on the higher side. Especially when you think about like any red style beer,
right, yeah,
you're not thinking 8.2% or anywhere near 8, honestly. So
well, I'll give this a chance. Although I don't know, after hearing the description, it doesn't look as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, my apologies on the way that I'm getting the information out because I feel like it's kind of like piecemeal, like bits here and there. It's because I had researched it beforehand and I'm trying to go off memory on this.
I know. I don't. He has no notes. He's not looking at anything. Yeah. I can't do that.
There you go. Rinse your glass out real quick. And yeah, so here we have the Wee Heavy Scotch Style Red. Should be interesting. I've never had a Scotch Style Wee Heavy Red before.
Carlin has like a photographic memory. I get out of the shower and I forget if I like washed my legs. And Carlin like remembers everything.
I always remember when I wash my legs.
Carlin can verify.
It's emblazoned in my
mind.
I'm
like, wait a minute, I can't remember. I'm like, smell my hair. Did I wash it?
Okay, so on the nose, definitely getting a little bit of alcohol to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I get like this sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the nose a lot.
It's kind of like honey. A little bit of raisininess that you would associate with a higher ABV beer.
I know it's not
syrupy.
Yeah, it reminds me of I get like some cherries. Like it kind of reminds me of the nose of Mad Elf.
Yes, another Trogs beer, Mad Elf, which is brewed with honey
and
cherries.
You like that one? Did I do a good job on that?
Yeah, you did a really good job. I do get some cherry notes. That's interesting. Very good.
Point for Rebecca.
Oh, I didn't know we were keeping points. I didn't know it was a competition.
Well, I mean, you would win every time. But
nah, I don't think so. All right.
Okay, to our last beer. Cheers.
Yeah, last beer. Oh.
This is really good.
Significantly less syrupy than you would think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And oh my, is that ABV hidden so well.
Oh my gosh. I really like this. I thought for sure, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be drinking any of that Hoppin' Frog after we do the show, but
it is so light on the finish. I can't believe how light it is on the finish. You get, like, what are you tasting in it primarily? It is,
It tastes like, I mean, I definitely, it's like the, it's like, I don't, okay, whenever I drink a red, I feel like it tastes like red.
Okay. And
I don't even know how to describe that to anybody.
Well,
else.
In this case, maybe like the cherry type.
Yeah,
taste.
Maybe that's but and with a little sweetness, mm-hmm. but it's light and just
it's
and,
like
and malty.
It is kind of like honey cherry.
Yeah,
and it's not nearly as syrupy as you would really think it is. It finishes very light, like the mouthfeel. When you think, you know, it's 8.2% alcohol, and you see the coloration of it because it is red. You think that the mouthfeel is going to be significantly more than it is because it smells syrupy too.
Right.
It smells a little astringent.
I mean, just a little bit. You know, I mean, I like Mad Elf, especially around the I like it around the holidays because I just feel like it is, I associate that with the holidays. But sometimes, again, that's probably one I could do like baby beer style. Mm-hmm. Because after a while, it makes me feel a little nauseous.
I could see that.
Like, I don't know. It's like just like thick at the same time. But this reminds me of that. Okay. But easy to drink and not as full-bodied. I like this beer a lot.
God, I want to say something, but I don't want to turn you off of the beer. And I feel like if I say it, it might turn you off.
What are you going to say?
I feel like it...
Are you going to say assy?
No, no. I think, and this sounds weird, in a good way, it tastes a little Robitussin-y.
Yeah, I hate when he says that.
In a good way, though. Like, it doesn't have...
Robitussin cannot... there's nothing good about Robitussin.
There are moments... Because it's like a cherry...
No.
Cough medicine. No. And there are, and with the level of alcohol, there is a moment when you're drinking something like Robitussin where it tastes okay.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
When you're drinking Robitussin, you're on the couch with tissues up your nose and a big trash can next to you, and you feel miserable.
Well, yes, but I'm just talking from a flavor standpoint. Not from all the things going on around you taking it. But yes, I think your assessment about the cherries in the nose was a really good one, and I think that's in the taste.
It's delicious.
I'm very surprised by this. I actually thought the mouthfeel was going to be a lot more. I thought the alcohol was going to be able to be perceived a lot more. Yeah. And it's not. Hop and Frog did a really good job in hiding
it. It's nice. I like it a lot.
Yeah. It is good. So now we're going to have to fight over the Hop and Frog.
So we're
going to
split the Hop and Frog. I'm taking Lucky SOB. You'll take Nugget Nectar. Honestly, the... Censored is like my least favorite.
Okay, well, put them in order. Top to bottom or bottom to top. How do you like
Lucky
them?
Lucky SOB, Hop and Frog, Nugget Nectar, Censored.
That's your order. So you like Lucky SOB most, then the Hop and Frog, out of kilter, then the Nugget Nectar, and then the Censored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the way I would rate mine is Nugget Nectar, then the out of kilter.
Oh, okay.
Then the Lucky SOB, then the Censored.
No, so ours are like basically the same.
And I think, you know, it's not a slam on the Censored. The Censored is a good beer. It's just the one that's closer to basic.
Yeah, it's definitely more basic, kind of, just, again, like I said, kind of nondescript.
Yeah.
Nothing abrasive about it, but nothing to write home about.
Yeah. Well, does this, I mean, if the Brutal Battle Royale tournament did not do it already. Has this episode changed your perception of ambers and reds?
Me? Oh, yeah. But you were kind of posing that question to the listeners.
Well, I mean, they can
absolutely.
Think about it too.
I mean, I remember, you know, when you told me you were going to do reds and ambers, I was like, okay, well, that's going to be boring because every single red and amber I've had has just been like...
Blah.
As you say, a throwaway style.
Yeah. Which... And, you know, I say that from time to time because I've said that a lot about, like, brown ales being throwaway styles. But the thing is, there are breweries out there that will take those styles that have been perceived as throwaway styles and do something awesome to them. Perfect example, Duclaw Brewing, which is near us. They do a really good job with brown ales. You know, they have their Euphoria, which is a toffee nut brown ale, which is very good. And then they just recently came out with another brown ale called Dirty Little Freak, which is a caramel chocolate coconut.
And it is so good.
Yeah. So there's a perfect example, you know, of taking a kind of, quote, throwaway style and making it awesome.
Yeah.
And,
well, and you know what?
Here we have it
again. There are people that like throwaway styles. You know, it's all about what you like. And
yeah, and they're... Yes, it is... Everything is objective, you know. People...
Subjective.
Yes, that's right. Sorry. Everything is... Everything is subjective. People have their own taste buds. Not everyone's is the same. So.
Wait, everybody has their own taste buds?
Yeah, everyone has them.
Oh my God.
If you stick your tongue out and look in a mirror, those bumps, those are your taste buds.
If you can't tell, Carlin and I joke around a lot.
We do. Awesome. Well, I had a fun time with this. Yeah, hopefully all the listeners got something out of it.
This is better than I thought it was going to be. Sometimes Carlin's like, can we do an episode tonight? And I'm like, ugh. But this was enjoyable.
Cool. Well, we are going to finish off these beers after we stop recording here. Everyone listening, thank you very much for doing so. And please Go out and try some new ambers and some new reds.
Yeah.
Find something new and exciting. And then go ahead and send us an email. Let us know what you thought. What did you have? How was it? You know, give us a breakdown. Would you smell in it? Would you taste in it? Even one of these beers that we just had, and go ahead and say, well, I didn't get the same thing, or I got exactly what you guys got.
Tell me how good that Lucky SOB is.
Yeah, tell Rebecca how much you love it.
Yeah, send me some email.
Yeah, send some to Rebecca. So you can send that to brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com.
Attention, Rebecca.
Attention, there you go. Attention, Rebecca. Although I would still read it anyway, you know.
What? So.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. We always appreciate everyone listening. Thank you very much, Rebecca, for being on another episode.
I mean, I kind of have to. I'm married to you.
Yeah, you do. Because I pretty much can have you cornered. When I just get all the stuff and I'm just like, we're recording. There's nowhere
for you
to go.
I wasn't even done like eating dinner and Carlin has like the beers lined up, the microphone. I'm like, okay.
Because that's how important the listeners are.
Aww.
They need their episodes.
They need their episodes.
And when I have an idea for doing an episode or I feel like I'm in the mood to get one done, that's when we're getting it done. We're doing it. So thank you, everyone. And Rebecca, do you have anything else to say?
Yeah, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.